Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Good evening, everyone, and thank you again for joining us one more time. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your best source for year-round rowdies coverage. We are coming at you live here on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented in part by Roughneck Scarves and Taco Bus. My name is Stephen Cundiff. Joining me tonight, at the moment at least, is Matthew Cox. Daniel said that he might be coming in later, so we'll see if he pops in. But Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Thank you to everyone for joining us, except Dan, who apparently just can't be bothered. Whatever.
Oh, Dan. It's always Dan.
Trying to convey the sound of my eyes rolling right here. So far so good. I mean, it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. It is a Lightning Stanley Cup playoff game day, which is...
Yes, I think just getting underway any moment now.
It is always exciting. Team Tampa Bay just always, you know, adding more trophies, adding more titles, adding more championship appearances. It's all good. It's all very good. Also with us tonight is our executive Patreon producer. Tonight, that is David Morales. Thank you, thank you, thank you, David, as always, for being a faithful member of our show and for being a faithful supporter of our show. We do appreciate all of our patrons who contribute on a monthly basis to, well, kind of helping pay the fees for all this stuff. So we do appreciate all of you very much. If you want to tweet us during the show, give us some comments, thoughts, banter, you know, all that kind of stuff. Twitter's the best place to do that. At Unused Subs Pod is the handle. You will catch all three of us on there. We will interact. Absolutely. So, Tampa Bay Rowdies get a point this weekend against, well, actually, it was against a really bad team. So Charleston Battery comes into town, kind of a second to last place, having a lot of difficulty trying to find the form and find themselves under new leadership. And we end up playing to a 1-1 draw. Now, all right. A quick fire thought, if you could find one word to describe that match. I'll start, since I threw everybody under the bus here. I'll start this. My one word for this match is unfortunate.
I don't know. I know that being overwhelmed is a thing and being underwhelmed is a thing, but I don't know if whelmed is a thing. Whelmed might be, or, you know, like nonplussed is a thing. I think... sort of plussed, maybe, or the word I used to describe us after years and years of ineptness, how we were striving for what has always eluded us, ept. That game was very ept.
Well, that was a lot more than one word.
Yeah, what a cheater. Jeez.
No. I would have to say unlucky.
No, he started.
But that's it, guys. We can just end the show right there. It's all over. I appreciate all your contributions. Have a nice night. So Tampa Bay Rowdies, they come out as we were hoping they would. They come out firing on all cylinders, and they basically dominated most of that match in pretty much every category that matters. You've got a shot that hits the crossbar. You've got multiple shots that have, to be honest and giving full credit, were really good saves by the goalkeeper, all in the first half. Now, one shot in particular does make it through, and it's probably the most unlikely of the shots taken, and that is a Leo Fernandez shot from right around the outside the box, right around the 18-yard box border there, goes near post on the ground, like through a defender's legs. It wasn't the most powerful of shots, but because of the angle, because of the circumstances, Charleston's keeper does not have a good jump on it, and Fernandez beats him. But it legitimately felt like it could have been like 3-0 Rowdies at halftime with some better luck, with a bit better bounce, with, I don't want to call it aggressiveness because I thought we were actually as aggressive as we needed to be. It just felt like that extra little luck wasn't on our side.
That's why I said unlucky. Because we, you know, at that period, at that break when you and I, Steven, did that episode, we were talking about how we weren't getting bounces, how we're still snake bit in some ways. Like, that game should have been over in the first half. But, you know, good saves, crossbar, whatever. It's just the effort's there and the chances are being created and they're just not going in. And then it takes a penalty or like in hockey terms, like, you know, the ball had to have eyes to get through to, you know, on that goal from Leo. It's just, oh, I don't miss these kinds of shows. I don't. I liked, you know, last year when things were fun and we were winning and everything was great. But these, you know, it's part of the game. I wouldn't say overall I'm upset with the performance. The lack of being able to close out a 1-0 game again is something that we need to get better at. But overall, like, I can't complain about that.
Yeah, could have been a lot worse overall. Still the only team in the Eastern Conference without a loss in their last five games. Feels kind of a little bit like an opportunity squandered by giving up that equalizer and coming away with a point. But still, sitting third in the conference standings for now. And then I don't know if you guys saw USL Tactics put out his kind of weekend update on the conferences. And had a graph of expected points. Rowdy's currently sitting second in the East behind Louisville on expected points for the season. So may not ideally be where we want to be right now, but still seem to be on a pretty good track to get where we would like to be by the time the postseason rolls around.
And, you know, I think this is the thing that stinks is, like, you know, we were talking about, like, closing out games or getting 1-0 victories. And, like, yeah, that's certainly important. It's hard to do it, though, when you only take one shot on goal. And that happens to be, like, a good build-up. You know, you could call it a good breakdown of our defense. But, like, it was a decent play on Charleston's part. There wasn't a whole lot you could have done to necessarily stop it. Certainly, it was not a situation like we talked about for a while. You know, would you trust Ryko in a must save, like if you need your goalkeeper to step up, would you trust Ryko or trust CJ? It was pretty established that CJ was the man you would want. But like that one goal was not something he was going to necessarily stop. Like that wasn't, it didn't matter who was in net at that point. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate because that's the game of soccer, right? Is that you can play an entire game, get one chance, capitalize it, and then come out with points. And it gets weird like that sometimes. I think the thing that's really noteworthy is our inability to getting a second goal in the second half. Like, we just, it's almost like in a lot of ways we kind of just died there for a long stretch of the game. We just could not get it. Got, what do we call it, from like the 45th to maybe like the 65th minute. It really didn't feel like we were creating much in the way of threatening opportunities. Lots of possession, lots of ball movement, lots of like long-term breaking down of defenses, but we really weren't like hungry for net, is the way I would phrase it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it, we've talked in the past, at least in past seasons, about the kind of tendency to play down sometimes when they're playing clubs that are not as have not had as much success lately or in kind of a bad stretch. And it kind of, it felt like almost a little bit like that, almost like it was, okay, we've got a goal, we'll probably get one or two more because we've had some opportunities. They haven't had the best of the game tonight. We'll probably be okay, even if we don't get another goal. We'll kind of see this one out. And it's not to say that they weren't into it. I had to run down to the media room kind of right after the final whistle, and I popped down the hallway just as the first player. I don't know who it was. The voice sounded somewhat familiar, so I could speculate, but it doesn't really matter who it was. I have not heard an F word dropped that loudly outside of, you know, I work in a middle school, so it tends to happen, you know, a million times in between every class, unfortunately. There definitely were some disappointed players on the night. We know Leo Fernandez talked about it in the post game with the interview with, you know, at this point unable to be seen out, and because it's been kind of a recurring thing at this point, figuring out how to get to that point where you get through this, you get the extra goal you think you're going to get, like making sure you get it, not just thinking about it.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. Like, I really, sorry, Lilo's decided she wants to play right now, as usual when we fire up the mics. but it's just, the performance was there for 85 minutes, maybe. And I think the subs came a little too late. At least up top, I think Lucky probably should have come out a little earlier for Seba or, you know, whoever. I mean, I love Lucky. He's not a 90-minute player and probably not a 65-minute player. And I think that might have helped if we made a couple of those offensive changes earlier to keep the pressure on and bring in some new blood and some new life to it. But I'm not a coach. I am just some idiot with a microphone that's sitting in my living room. So take that for what it's worth. But I think that was it. I think, I mean, you know, it just feels like that soccer is a sport that, like, bounces don't go your way and it can ruin the whole thing. And I'm not, obviously, we don't have any reason to panic or really be too upset yet. I mean, it's still semi earlier in the season and we're pretty good in the standings, but if you want to win a championship, you can't leak goals like that.
I think one of the things that's interesting for the context of the match, you know, we talked about it on our on the Twitch pregame show, that Lucky M. Kasana being up top, he would have to have like a monumental performance because he was filling in a role that he does not match one-to-one for the players that he's replacing, because we didn't have Kyle Gregg, we didn't have Steven Dos Santos. That's a very wildly different type of player, having a Lucky M. Kasana or Sebastian Guinzotti up there on the top line, or like Juan Tejada. Like, that's a very different type of player, just inherently. And we knew that Lucky would have to have like this outstanding performance. And I mean, I don't think he played poorly, but I think Ultimately, I don't think he was able to fill that role as well as we needed it to, which I don't think is his fault per se, because it's not really his job. But I think unintentionally, that's what hurt us a lot, because, you know, we talked about it. Lucky would have to have the center defenders focus on him a lot during that match to give space for Jake and Leo to take advantage of. But he almost never was able to achieve that. You know, when you're looking at like average positions for their two center backs for the game, Leland Archer and Preston Kilween, they actually, their final positions are actually out fairly wide. In a four-back system, they did not pinch in or were forced to pinch in very much at all. And I think for me, that's kind of the characteristic that we were seeing in the match that really dictated why we couldn't get better and more lethal opportunities. Is we allowed them to kind of have the center defenders push out and gang up on Leo and Lakava. And, you know, it's interesting too, because I talked to Leo after the game, and I was like, you know, this is kind of like what I saw, because who cares about my opinion? And he's like, that is like literally exactly what the issue was tonight. You know, it's like, it was unfortunate. Like, we couldn't get more threat down the middle, and that's what did it. Because ironically, right, the goal we score is because of threats down the middle. You know, Lewis Hilton drives up the middle of the field, intercepts a ball high up almost to the offensive third when he intercepts it. But he gets that ball and he drives straight at Charleston on the dribble as soon as he gets that interception. In fact, we're watching that play develop. We almost wondered why Lewis didn't just take the shot himself. I mean, he's literally almost at the 18-yard box. He's got two defenders that are not closing in on him. He had a wide open. He literally had a clear line of sight to the entire frame of goal. And instead of taking the shot, he lays it off to Leo. Now, Leo ends up scoring, but it was like, or no, was it? Was that the score? Or was that the Lakava crossbar? Either way. That was the Lakava crossbar in the ninth minute. That's right. And it was interesting because it was like, you know, Lakava almost scores it anyways. But, and that would have been a great goal. But, you know, it's just funny because it's like, it's that down the middle of the field look that the Rowdies just don't sometimes really do as well as they need to. And, you know, that's one of like the little nitpicks that you look at a game like this and you kind of like, is that the issue? You know, you look at the fact that like Johnstead was coaching tonight. I know for a fact that everybody on the field and inside the organization, it hurt not having Neil there. It hurt. It sucks. Like, you want your head coach. You play for the guy that inspires you every game. You know, not taking away anything from Johnstead, but it hurt. Now, there was a lot of discussion on like the Ralph's Mob Discord, some discussion on Twitter and things like that about, you know, the circumstances with Neil. Look, Neil did not get an opportunity, like a lot of people do, to gain their coaching licensing before becoming a head coach. Like, you know, Neil was able to get some licensing in place. That's why he was allowed to take over the job here. But, you know, he didn't get everything he wanted. So, you know, you take the classes when you get the opportunity. And I personally have no issue with him missing a game or two a year. Maybe I'll even call it three. If it means that he's taking, you know, higher level coaching courses, higher level certifications. Because it's not just like, I mean, look, I'm a pro-labor type guy. I'm always for, you know, people improving themselves for future employment opportunities. But, like, at the same time, he's going to be potentially learning skills, learning things in general, ways of managing, ways of coaching that benefit the Rowdies first before it will benefit any other club that he will ever coach for. You know, he's taking those courses and learning those things, and he's coming back to our club first. He's not going somewhere else with that knowledge right away.
You sure? Those odds at Knott's County were pretty good.
You bastard.
So bad. So bad. But yeah, I think that's the thing that I get why some people are mad about it, but I don't think it's necessarily fair. I especially don't think it's necessarily fair to Neil, considering that he went straight from player to coach. So he didn't have the same opportunity of gaining these licensings, you know, as a retired, you know, post-playing type career. So I don't think it's really fair to him at all. But yeah, I think I'm okay with it just because, again, he's going to be taking those skills and coming back here. So I'm cool. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a European coaching license, obviously it's not going to be on our calendar. So, you know, that's part of the issue. But, yeah, I'm never going to complain about my coach gaining more skills and knowledge. It, you know, like, it's no different than, well, I don't really have an analogy there, actually. But it's good. Like, wouldn't you want your coach getting more skills? It would be like if, you know, I don't know who's one of the, like, Jake LaCava was like, hey, I'm going to take two games. I'm going to go play, like, in Barcelona and then come back with new skills. And you'd be like, no, we need you. No, I would take that deal. I would take that deal for two games. You know what I mean? Like, knowledge, experience, it's good. It helps everybody. And, you know, as much as we can bang on about loyalty and blah, 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 it's a business. These guys got to look out for themselves for tomorrow and not just today. So we love Neil. I mean, he's still, I think, he got 2 years left on his deal. No matter what you think is going on, I don't think he's going to leave until that deal is at least expired. I don't think he's going to dip without it. You know, I don't think, could be wrong. Don't hold me to that. Don't, but I mean, you know, these guys got to look out for number one, and I hope he. I hope everything. You know, he's back. So let's, you know, win this week.
Yeah, I'll take the getting the experience. The you know, in my field, it's labeled professional development, and usually follows with a chuckle after using that kind of term. But something good like that could pay off end of season playoff time versus Saturday night versus the still next to bottom Charleston Battery. Like, okay, we drop 2 points. Life goes on. We'd still be, even with the win looking at it right now, we'd still be in the same position because we would have gone level with Memphis on points, but would have been behind them on wins. So, overall effect, and Memphis is actually playing right now, so it would be subject to change anyway.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, we're all looking at these games, and it's one game a week, right? Like, pretty much everybody in the league is all doing one game a week, so these individual results, as we've been saying, like, it's gonna be a drag for such a long time seeing what these teams are going to look like and what the position on the table is going to look like and that kind of stuff. Like, it's going to be a long time before we see real movement, before we see anything really come into place. And you can't expect, I mean, we all want the Rowdies to win every game, but, like, you can't expect the Rowdies to win every game. Right. But, you know, games against this, you know, and it comes back to this whole thing. Like, we seem to be playing well against the teams at the top of the table and playing poorly against teams at the bottom of the table, which is definitely kind of an odd, you know, track. That's kind of an odd tendency. I mean, if you do it consistently, it kind of works out anyways. But, like, I mean, it's just weird that we've gotten, you know, if you look at it, New York Red Bulls 2, Charleston Battery, Hartford Athletic, FC Tulsa are all games that we've dropped points against. Or just, you know, failed to get all three for whatever reason. And it's just, that really hurts. Like, that legitimately hurts.
Yeah, you want to get the points that you should get, especially when you should get them, and this seemed like an opportunity not only to get 3 points, but, you know, get some of the offensive woes out of the way, because this seemed like a team that would concede several goals, because, let's face it, they have, except for that, you know, 3-0 win over Pittsburgh the week before. They have been giving up goals at a pretty good – at a rate that seemed to match up with what Tampa Bay had been doing. So I was kind of looking forward to that. You know, there's some ancillary things as well, too. More goals during June would have been a nice little bump for Pride Razor. I think the Mob's up to – I think it's at least 250 per goal right now, and down to one game left in this. So it would have been cool to see that happen. It would have been cool to put on a good show at home, you know, with an assistant coach. You know, it's valuable experience for him as well, too, getting to you know, boss the team from the sidelines out there. A better result would have, you know, been a better outcome in more ways than one. And it's just kind of unfortunate it didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very about it. It just didn't feel like, I don't know. There was just, it felt weird. I know during the Louisville reschedule, people were saying the vibes were off. It just kind of felt like vibes were off on Saturday night. Like, it wasn't, there wasn't that energy around Al Lang. And I don't think that's anybody's fault. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not blaming anybody. It still feels like we're in the post-final hangover from last year. Like, I think that's just there. And I'm not talking about just necessarily on the field. I just mean as a base, like a, and it's kind of been a weird year. So I don't know. And that's where I'm at least for me. And I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong or anything. I'm just saying for me, it feels like a very big hangover.
You keep saying you're not like blaming anybody, but you keep pointing at the camera, and what I can assume is just you're blaming it all on Steven.
Well, yeah, everything's Steven's fault.
Of course it is.
Okay. Just making sure I'm clarifying that.
One thing I did put up here on Twitter here live while we're on the air on the Unused Subs pod, Aaron Guillen got a yellow card in this match, and it was a very blatant yellow card, fully deserved, by the way. In a tackle with a Charleston player, the Charleston player, and I took a screenshot of this, threw it up on the Twitter so that way you guys can see it. The Charleston player very plainly has his hand, right hand, resting against the back of Aaron's head / neck. And as he's going to the ground, very obviously is throwing Aaron's face into the dirt. Yeah, very, very, very obviously doing this. That was no accident. These players are smart enough to do that. Now,
you say very obvious, but it seems like it wasn't that obvious to the one person whose job it is to see the very obvious things.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. The foul was called, so that's good. It wasn't that the play got away with it completely. It was a legitimate foul. The problem is, and this is something that referees, you know, they've struggled with as far as, you know, things you have to deal with. What is the one nomenclature you always hear on the field when you're getting fouled? Retaliation is always picked up worse than the regular foul that was called that caused the retaliation. Like, it's a stupid thing. It's ridiculous. But it's also, like, consistently true across the entire sporting landscape. Aaron's reaction to this was 100% a yellow card. 100%.
I honestly was kind of surprised it wasn't a red. I don't know if maybe the ref did notice this, and that was maybe a mitigating factor. Because, in the moment, especially where that happened on the field, I didn't see what had happened. I just saw Aaron get up and just shove the crap out of this guy. I didn't know if he had said something, if he had done something, if, you know, they had a prior history or something. I was really interested in what had happened, and also a little bit surprised that, not that I think it should have been a red, but we've seen Reds go for lesser things than this in games.
The thing about this play, though, from the position of, you've got to consider where the position of the referee is here, right? This happens very close to the touchline. In fact, it happens basically right in front of the Rowdy's bench. The Charleston player is physically blocking the line of sight from the center referee. Like, the center ref would have no opportunity of seeing that arm on Aaron's body because it's literally not visible to him. However, the assistant referee is literally standing right there. I mean, he would be no more than like 30 or 40 feet away from this and with zero obstruction. This moment is not necessarily the center ref getting it wrong. This is the AR not raising hell and high water to make sure that got yellowed.
He didn't say a word.
He didn't say a word.
Because I was right above. It was like I was standing in midfield up top. And the people, the bench and the people in midfield right behind him were yelling and were screaming because he just kind of let it happen, just stood there, didn't say anything, didn't wave, like, you know, call the center ref over. You know, yes, Aaron probably deserves a yellow for the retaliation, but that play, the Charleston player deserved a card of any color on that one. And nothing, like, a foul wasn't enough. And the fact that the AR was just like, was upsetting. But that ref was just all that officiating crew was just bad all around. And I'm not saying just if like for or against us, it just was an oddly officiated game. And, you know, it happens. It's USL. I don't have anything else to say about that one. But the AR did blow that one by not opening his mouth.
Yeah, the one incident I remember from that game, because, you know, Charleston came out and played a pretty physical game. I think we saw that all night long. And especially once they saw what they were and weren't going to get whistled and carded for, then they did a pretty good job of doing what they could up to the limit that they felt had been established. The one that really stood out to me, because the angle where I was, I felt like I had a pretty good view on it. Lucky's bringing the ball up the field, and one of the Charleston players goes into a challenge with him. And normally what would be like a shoulder to shoulder and push him off the ball, except apparently in Charleston, your shoulder's located in your elbow and the opposition player's elbow is located in the middle of his throat because he tried to shove his arm down Lucky's throat. Lucky goes down. It takes the ref about 5 or 10 seconds to whistle. Didn't play advantage, but eventually blows the whistle, and then Lucky's looking at him like that's it, and he just kind of so that was that one that felt a little egregious to me, because if I could see that from the stands, then someone in there should have had a pretty good view of that one. In fact, I think it was the ref wasn't going to call at all, and then the linesman, because it happened near the sideline, linesman put the flag up, and finally the ref blew the whistle on that one.
So one thing to keep in mind is that when it comes to animation from like assistants and referees and things like that, the headsets end up kind of betraying that a lot. Like, you know, the AR one that could have seen the Aaron Guillen situation, you know, he doesn't have to like motion with hands. He doesn't have to motion with thing. He doesn't have to walk on the field. Like, he can just stand there completely motionless and talk on the headset, you know, it gets hard to see that sometimes, but yeah, I mean, there were moments in that match that, like, I did not understand, like, any of the decision-making that was happening on the field at all. There was a lot that just didn't make sense. There were a few plays, again, and it's funny because I think the same thing happened, like, 2 weeks before, or a week before that, was, like, you know, with the Miami game. Like, it was, you had the same foul in, like, the same position on the field, like, almost against, like, the literally, like, the opposing same players' positions, like, on their side of the field, and like one was a yellow and one wasn't, and it was literally identical, and you're just like, it's hard to be able to get a rhythm as a player when you don't really know what is and isn't a foul. You don't know how to go, you don't know how hard you can go in and challenge for a play, you know, you don't know what you need to be looking out for, and or what you could potentially get away with, or what you need to, you know, if you have to put in some authority on the field, you know, that line of, like, does it go across to a red card type of situation? Like, sometimes it gets a little hazy if the referee is being a bit inconsistent. And that makes a difference for everybody on the field. And, yeah, this match, there were definitely some moments that was like, huh?
That's putting it nicely.
I mean, at least we only had 4 offsides calls against us this year, or this week. That's a nice, refreshing change.
Instead of 4 situations where there weren't an offsides call like it was in the previous game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, none of us predicted final scores correctly, but I think that game kind of went a bit unexpected. And again, I think with some bounces, better bounces, I think this ends up being the blowout we thought it would.
Yeah, maybe not the blowout Dan thought it would, because I'm just going to say, I didn't even have a chance to tell you this. I want to say about 5 or 10 minutes in, my daughter was with me over in the mob section, and she's like, yeah, Dan's wrong. I was like, yeah.
We were all wrong. So does it really matter on margins? And it was only 2 more goals than you predicted. What, like, it's not like I was predicting like 10-0. I think if we would have got
twice as many goals as I were, if we're going to go with the.
Excuse me. I officially revised my guess down to 1-0 Tampa Bay Rowdies, so I will claim the closest.
You're right. You did say 1-0. You didn't get it right. But I'm going to say that it was, you know, if we would have scored, if Lakava's shot went in off the, and it's 2, if we got to 3 in the first half like we should have, it would have gone to 5. I'm sorry.
I can see that.
The way we played early would lend itself to 5-0. But, I mean, you know, they got to go in the net for it to count, so it doesn't matter. And if we're going to play the blame game, Mr., I am going to tweet all, like, for a week and a half about wearing a kilt and then don't show up to a game.
And then don't show up wearing a kilt. Yeah, excuse me, sir. Hello?
Look, if somebody had told me that Neil wasn't going to be there, I wouldn't have made the promise for that one at first. So now that Neil's back for the July 2nd game, I will be fabulous.
Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day.
I haven't been very good, but I'll save it for off air.
Oh, man. Well,
yeah, because I'm not hanging around after. There's a Lightning game I want to watch, yeah, you know, that we're up 1-0 on. And
it might be 5-0 by the time we're done.
Maybe. I would like it to be.
Well, something that we will have to wait until after pod is if we plan on visiting Taco Bus. Because Taco Bus, proudly delivering a healthy, fresh, and authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just a single bite of a burrito, tostado, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit us today at one of our 11 locations, and remember to keep it chido. All right, so looking around the league a little bit, looking around the lone players here, Timmy Mel played all 90 minutes in a win over Fuego. Also got himself a yellow card. But if I'm not mistaken, he was actually named player of the match, I think, for the Red Wolves this past weekend. If memory serves, I think I saw that pop up. Jordan Adebayo-Smith, of course, continues to be leading goal scorer over at Red Bull 2. I mean, granted, that's only 3 goals and they're in last place, but it still counts. Matt Serbelle, 13 appearances. He's got 4 starts on the year. He has an assist for the currently second place Cork City in Ireland. So that is good news. We like seeing, I mean, overall, I mean, in a lot of ways, you can make an argument that that's good numbers for all 3 of them. You know, getting, you know, they're getting minutes. It's not like they're sitting the bench not playing, you know. So that's always good. We always like seeing that. Around the league?
One addition to that.
Oh,
Timmy Mel has started tonight in Chattanooga's game versus Charlotte Independence, and they are currently leading Charlotte 3-1 at the half.
Nice. We like seeing that. All right, so speaking of some scores, there were...
He was USL Team of the Week.
Ah, there you go.
I don't know if he was player of the game or not, but he definitely was team of the week. Looking. No, he was. Yeah, man of the match and team of the week, man.
There you go.
Might be the most successful loan move so far, even better than Jordan and his three goals for New York Red Bulls also.
Right. All right, so looking around the league a little bit, there were four notable matches that took place, or that had some notable results, should I say. Pittsburgh has again found a way to be bad. They have not won a game in at least five matches now. They lost to Rio Grande Valley 1-0 on the road in Rio Grande. So, thank you, Western Conference. We appreciate your contributions. Loudon probably had the upset of the weekend, considering how bad they are. They host Phoenix Rising and beat Phoenix 4-3. And the thing is that third goal for Phoenix happened in second half stoppage. So, like, it wasn't like a close game at the end. Loudon really controlled, like, that scoreline the entire match.
But to play the role of Steven here, they almost blew it.
Well, I mean, sure.
Paying attention when that score was 4-1 in the second half. I think I'm almost going to say it was like in the 70th minute or so. It was like 4-1 Loudon, and I was like, yeah, that one's over. And then it finishes 4-3. Almost blew it.
Almost.
Almost doesn't count, except in horseshoes and hand grenades. Blah 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 blah. A win's a win. You won't remember that they almost blew the lead at the end of the game, at the end of the year, when that's 3 points in the win column.
Style points are the third tiebreaker in the standings.
Oh, so, is that so?
Almost blew it points.
I mean, have you paid attention to the USL Team of the Week and power rankings? I hope they're not the ones adjudicating style points.
Oh, gosh. True. All right. Another Western Conference matchup. Colorado Springs also... another Western Conference favor for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. They defeat Indy 11 by a scoreline of 4-3. That is a big boost. That's a big help, obviously, keeping Indy below us. That's, I mean, Pittsburgh and Indy dropping points to the West is just, that's just gravy. That is awesome. We love seeing that. It keeps Indy 6 points behind us. Now, granted, they've got two games in hand, so technically they can make that up, but it does keep a six-point gap. That's very, very helpful. And ESPN's match of the week, or USL's match of the week on ESPN, or however you want to phrase it. Detroit City hosted El Paso. The game ended 1-1. Now, that's great for the Rowdies. Detroit getting a point, that's amazing. The news story from that match wasn't the on-field result, though. The story from that match was the fact that the TV ratings on ESPN for that match was like 194 or 197,000 viewers.
97, yeah.
Yeah, 197,000 viewers. Which, keeping in mind, the championship game for USL last year. Man, I got to rack my brain here. It was no higher than 80,000. Like, I want to say it was like, I think 75,000 people across the entirety of the United States are estimated to have watched that match. But Detroit got 197.
I don't really want to have this discussion because it's just going to end up with me getting annoyed with Detroit fans. They don't need any more feeding their ego or anything. And don't get me wrong, a lot of it is earned. They have done amazing things, but also they don't need to be any more insufferable.
Make sure we give some credit to El Paso, too. I mean, they're a quality team. They've been in the conference finals a couple times recently. They've been in the playoffs. They're part of that number too. I saw someone tweet. If you pay attention to some people on Twitter, it sounds like Detroit played Detroit, and that was it.
I mean, does El Paso really have a fan base?
I mean, let's be real, right? It's ESPN on a Saturday, like early afternoon. Yeah. That's just it's on TVs across the country and nobody's really watching, right? Like, I mean, that's just a thing. And when you compare that to, you know, the Rowdies championship match on like a Sunday night, people aren't watching ESPN on Sunday nights. Like, that's just not a thing necessarily, especially during like football season. So, yeah, I just, when you look at the TV ratings, like, obviously that's going to play a huge portion of it, you know, as far as the time of match, how that potentially plays into it. I mean, you didn't see 197,000 people actually tune in specifically to watch that match. I mean, that's an important factor. It's just there were 197,000 people left over that decided not to change the channel after the previous show ended. I mean, that's kind of really what it was, if we're being honest.
Yeah, but that number is a nice thing for USL to be able to point to in future upcoming contract negotiations and shopping their TV rights around. It's there's a lot of factors that could be going into it, but again, like Dan said previously, a win's a win, and 3 points is 3 points, and that's 3 points for USL in TV ratings right there, basically.
It's huge. I mean, it's a massive, negotiating piece of the puzzle, essentially. And that is important. Like, the USL has to be able to leverage stuff like that. So that's a big deal. Speaking of TV rights, let's transition into this conversation. Did you guys see the TV deal that MLS signed and announced this week?
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not an MLS podcast or an MLS team, and I don't watch a whole lot of Major League Soccer. I mean, I watch a little bit of it, but does that seem like a good deal? Just on the surface of things, does that seem like a good deal if you're a fan of Major League Soccer, or maybe on the edge of being a fan of Major League Soccer, of like a franchise in the league? Does that deal sound like a good deal to you and the league and everybody involved, or does it seem like kind of a risk?
I mean, I think it depends on perspective. I mean, the money is a nice deal for MLS, which has struggled to get, you know, anything decent in terms of ratings on regular cable TV. Might even be a good deal for Apple because it's bringing potentially more subscribers into their streaming service, which, if there's a couple things, you know, Ted Lasso gets a lot of people in, but other than that, I don't know. There's really nothing else that I watch on there. But as far as, I mean, for fans, yeah, probably is, because I think fans are all getting season ticket holders get, you know, free access to the streaming service to watch the games on, so you can get your away games. I think that's a neat little feature of it. But I generally kind of watch MLS, like, once I get home from Rowdy's games and I'm still, like, doing some stuff around the house before I go to bed. That's not really going to be an option except for the few games that end up that are still being put onto ESPN or an ABC station or something. So, I'm not going to subscribe to Apple TV just to watch MLS games. Whenever the next Ted Lasso season comes out, I guess maybe I'll catch some extra ones then, because I'll have that for a little while I have that. But beyond that, it doesn't do anything for me. I'll end up watching more of the Western Conference or Liga MX probably than anything else.
I mean, I don't watch MLS. I don't watch much USL, if I'm being honest, outside of the Rowdies and a game here or there. But I think Apple subscriptions are probably better than what we're thinking. But I don't think it's so complicated to me, because streaming services don't operate like cable, right? Like you said about the ESPN rankings or ratings, like, you don't just leave your if you left the stream on after Ted Lasso, it's not going to automatically put an MLS game on. So you actually have to be actively wanting it, and those are the people that will subscribe, which are probably the season ticket holders, which are getting it for free. But I think MLS had a big problem with local blackouts and stupid TV deals from the team in market teams, because I remember, I think it was Columbus that blacked out their own home market. And it was really dumb. The TV deals some of these clubs have made are really dumb. So this might will help that. I also think a big part of it of keeping games on Wednesdays and Saturdays is a big thing because MLS was all over the place with their scheduling. And, you know, you could put a game on a random Thursday night and it's like, what? Like, why is this happening? So I think knowing when and where they are is good, just bringing and containing the package. I might watch MLS if and when I move to New York, like if I decide to become a Red Bulls fan, because not City, because I will never become a City-backed fan. But, like, you know, I might watch Red Bull games in my downtime. I don't know. Knowing that it's going to be on Apple and when it's going to be and when it is a big plus for the league. I don't know. Soccer in this country, like domestic soccer in this country, has a disparity of like butts in seats as opposed to who's watching at home. It's kind of like the Rays, the inverse of the Rays, where like the fan base is a lot larger than what's in the stadium because we're setting like record TV numbers. Soccer is one of the most attended sports in the U.S., but the TV market's not there. So I don't know. Hopefully this helps. I am, you know, MLS has its quirks, I guess, to put it nicely. But I always want our domestic leagues to do well because that's good for everybody.
Yeah, I think the kind of schedule certainty they're going to get from having all the games on Wednesdays and Saturdays is a nice thing. I also like the... There are some neat things to it. Like I said, like the season ticket holders getting the access to it. But also, apparently, they're going to have local radio broadcasts. Like, there's an audio option you can choose when you're watching the game. You can apparently turn off the commentary, whatever the commentary is, and then choose your local radio broadcast, which apparently is a thing for MLS. I don't know if any USL teams have local radio broadcasts. But it also means that you're going to have a lot of these teams who have been doing some of their own productions or having their own commentary staff. It sounds like that's all going to go away. So a little bit of a negative there. I don't know. There's still a lot that you know, people are talking about it. And I don't know if everyone knows the fine print or the details. It's weird to me because I remember MLS starting when the World Cup was last in the U.S. And then, you know, Tampa Bay had the mutiny. I went to games for those couple years. And now next time that the World Cup comes around with the majority of it being held in the U.S., it's going to be – you've kind of made it more difficult to go point fans towards the what's supposed to be the top league in the country. Oh, yeah, if you really enjoy that, you can go watch these teams if you go subscribe to Apple TV. I think, honestly, as USL fans, the fact that now USL is going to have games on ESPN and all the games are on ESPN Plus, which I think has a wider market, or at least a wider group of subscribers than Apple does, at least for now, it could end up being beneficial for USL and USL Championship teams, especially in the near future.
You know, this was my perspective when trying to view this situation. I have ESPN Plus specifically because I'm a Rowdies fan and I want to watch Rowdies road games. That's it. Like, that's the primary reason. If it was not for the Rowdies, I would not have an ESPN Plus subscription, period. And I think if you are, like, for example, if you are a Rowdies fan and the USL switched from ESPN Plus to everything being on Apple Plus, to me, it kind of is a pretty easy switch. I would just drop ESPN and pick up Apple Plus and carry on with life. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what MLS is kind of banking on, is that most people will make that transition without argument. And, you know, we talk about, you know, TV audiences and stuff like that. You know, one thing that's interesting about Major League Soccer is that for a long time, their TV ratings were basically lower than the combined capacity of all of their stadiums. Like, basically, it was kind of coming down to the situation where it was like, for a very, very long time, the only people really interested in Major League Soccer were literally the people going to the games. And that was it. Like, that was the whole audience. Does this deal, you know, does it make it easy for new people to find the teams to watch them if they become a dedicated fan? Maybe not. But, you know, this doesn't replace the national broadcast games. Like, this doesn't replace games that may appear on FS1 or ESPN or ABC or, you know, whatever. The Spanish language channels, for example. Like, this doesn't replace those. It's just basically all of your non-nationally televised matches. And I think in that context, especially since all of these regional TV deals had local blackouts in place for online streaming and this eliminates that, I think from that perspective, I think this ends up being a good deal for them. I mean, the money's great, but I think this ultimately is a good deal. But it's going to be interesting to see if it grows the league in the context of popularity, in the context of accessibility to the league, in watching it, especially if you're like an out-of-market person. If you are not in an MLS market, does this deal make it easier or harder for you to become a fan of a team in general? I'd argue it makes it harder. But, you know, I think that's something that the MLS is banking on that will work in their favor, and we'll have to see.
Yeah, and look, I really can't blame them. They've done the traditional let's get our sport on, you know, one of the major networks, one of the, you know, sports major networks, one of the occasional get a game on an ABC or something like that. They've done it for years and years and years, and it hasn't worked out. And at some point, you need to try something different and see what happens. And, you know, even if I don't think it's the greatest deal, at least it doesn't seem like it right now. Who knows? So I at least give them credit for at least trying something different and getting a little security, a little bit more incentive out of the deal than they have probably in the past with ESPN.
Sorry, I'm just looking at I was trying to find Apple TV Plus subscriber numbers, but Apple doesn't give them out.
Yeah.
But there was a report that it was fewer than 20 million, but still, that's a lot of people in the U.S.
That's not exactly a small sum, yeah.
Right. That's a lot of people that have access to Apple that that MLS has opened the door to. So I'm not going to – that's like a great thing. I don't know how many will tune in, but they say like there was one that said like 20-something million and then like 50 that have – 50 million that have – Apple through other promotions. It was like 20 million paid subscribers and then 50 million total with other. So if it's between 20 and 50 million, that's a heck of a lot better than MLS was doing with whatever they were doing previous. I don't think it's anything to shake a stick at.
By the way, shaking a stick at somebody will get you a whistle and a finger wag from last week's referee.
All right. Do we have any other topics we want to bring up tonight here?
You had Open Cup in there.
Ah, well, yeah, I guess I should. So I'm not going to comment on the games in...
I want to watch the Lightning game. I don't care about the Open Cup.
It's first intermission.
I'm not going to talk about the games that are being played right now. So I'm just going to say...
Because I was going
to. Massive shout out to Sacramento. You know, they go in, they defeat LA Galaxy, they make it to the semifinal round of the Open Cup. I mean, unbelievable to them. I think the semifinal draw is already determined as far as stuff goes. I don't know if they're going to be potentially hosting, but yeah, I'm super, super happy for them. Just like, I just can't even imagine making it that far in the Open Cup. Like, that just sounds like a dream world at this point. But, That's such a cool story, and I'm really, really happy for those guys.
They will play the winner. I don't know if the hosting decided yet, but they will play the winner of tonight's game with Union Omaha and Sporting KC. So, and that's a semifinal game. If Union Omaha pulls this off, you are going to have a lower division team in the final no matter what. That's kind of crazy. I was talking to one of the Sacramento fans that went out to the game, and I was like, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, we all remember – well, I don't think Dan does. We all remember watching the Rowdies beat Seattle in the Open Cup at Al Lang. But that was like – I don't want to take anything away from it. It's one of my favorite nights at Al Lang ever. But that was the first, you know, the round that MLS enters, and it was at Al Lang. To do that in the quarterfinals in the other team's home when you've seen that they have definitely rotated some players their previous game to have – a stronger team ready for the Open Cup game, that's just got to hit differently, man. That's I'm excited for those guys.
All right. Well, thanks for the reminder on that, because, yeah, I forgot to mention it. But other than that, anything else? Are we good?
Think we're good?
All right.
I think so. Sporting KC is up, if anybody was wondering. I'm not going to give the full score, but they're
Steven
up.
Steven said he wasn't going to talk about it. I'm aware. I saw it.
Just wanted to throw that up, if anybody was wondering.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Bolts up 1-0, and a noted show fan, Amy Beamer, won the Lightning Strikes contest tonight.
Finally.
Did she actually win the contest, or did she just predict the score?
They just tweeted. They called her out. So
they
she
did.
Won.
Good for her. That's cool.
I want to point out that I tweeted apparently Palat. I'm going to blame that on autocorrect when I obviously clearly meant Sorelli, and therefore I felt I should have been up for consideration too.
Could you tweet them with a prediction, or because I saw your tweet that And, you know, it's a very common autocorrect from Palat to Sorelli.
That's the L's throw it off, I guess. Yeah. I tweeted Palat with the Lightning Strikes hashtag. But I had typed in Sorelli. I don't know how that happened, but it totally happened. I'm completely legit.
Just like wearing a kilt on Saturday, huh? Yeah, just like wearing a kilt.
Just like that.
Hey, for all you know, I'm wearing one right now. Or,
I mean,
we're on video. Just stand up. We're on video. Prove it. Prove it.
I don't know if we want that.
Okay, wait. No. All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute the stream. Bye. Okay. No. All right. I'm going to pretend I'm covering him up right now so I can't see anything he's doing.
Running over here.
Do we have any We Love You shout outs that we want to do for this evening?
I don't really like anybody right now.
Ooh, ouch.
No. I don't.
Well, fine, guys. You guys are jerks. I've got one.
Go ahead.
Mine's gonna be Drew Felios, because on the broadcast, I was Mitch.
This is selfish. This isn't a we love you to Drew. This is because this is a selfish.
No.
This is an I love me moment.
No. Because he didn't have to do it at all. No, I subbed in for Mitch on the capo stand, and the camera happened to swing by or whatever and see me, and Drew ends up like legitimately just like not just the Browse Mop, actually name drops me, which is really cool because obviously we talked to him a lot as part of the podcast, you know, so that was actually like a really cool thing. So we love you to him, because I don't deserve that kind of recognition, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on the you don't deserve that kind of recognition. So whatever the opposite of we love you is, that's what I'm sending out to Drew Felios. Thank you.
Thanks, Drew.
No, actually, I do have one. I'm going to send mine out to JD, because JD got up there. So it was super – it wasn't like necessarily super hot, but it was super humid. Conditions were less than ideal to be someone going full blast on the capo stand. So there was some rotating crew up there. And I appreciated JD getting up there and trying to lead a Leo Fernandez song that I think he said Mitch had actually concocted, put together, but trying to bring something new and bring in some new chants, especially ones focused on individual players, especially the way Leo's been playing lately. I thought that was kind of cool, and I definitely would like to see more of that going on.
Yes.
Agreed.
But the rest of you people, I don't really care.
All right. Well, with that, thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete Online, and to Shamrock and Corrigan's. We appreciate all the support that all of you give to us and our show. If you are listening, please, please, please make sure, as always, share us with your friends, share us with your Rowdy supporters and friends. Subscribe to this show so you never miss an episode on whatever platform it is you're watching us or listening to us on. Give us a rating, give us a review, so that we the algorithms help it. Make sure you don't forget, we also broadcast on Twitch before home games as part of the pregame show, so make sure you're not missing an episode of that either. If you want to take that support a little bit more in depth, Patreon is the best and number one way to support us. You can do as little as $1 a month. For $12 a year, you can help us fund all the different subscriptions and equipment upgrades that we need to do every now and then that helps put this show on every single week. So you can go as high as like $10 a month. That gets you up to an executive producer Patreon level, and that gets you a shout out on a rotational basis on the show. Tonight, as a reminder, David Morales is our Patreon executive producer. Thank you.
I thought I cut him from the rolls. What is this? Why is he still on rotation?
Thank you to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, and you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or maybe even a pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. All right, gentlemen, let's head out. We've got Lightning Hockey to watch, because I'm sure all of us are going to start watching that if we aren't already.
I've got it on right over here.
Nice. All right, let's go. Let's go, Bolts. Let's go beat the crap out of Colorado Avalanche, because nobody likes the Colorado Avalanche anyways, so it's fine. Gentlemen, technically we're seeing each other this weekend, but, until then, everybody else, go Rowdies, and we'll see you on the flip side.
The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, they kick the ball around. The Rowdies run here, the Rowdies run there, and then they fall on the ground. Oh, the Rowdies are kicking the grass.